This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a playful adventure in a sculpture garden wonderland, an immersion in watercolor media with artists from around the globe, or a classic romantic ballet, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Museum of Art, NOMA, and the NOLA Project are inviting visitors to the maddest tea party in town as the Sidney and Walda Bestoff Sculpture Garden transforms into the magical world of Lewis Carroll's Wonderland. The NOLA Project's Adventures in Wonderland is a new interpretation of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, a silly journey that literally allows visitors to choose their own adventure, following crazy characters through the garden. Joining me now to talk about this unique production are the NOLA Project's A.J. Allegra and Andrew Larimer. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What did you set out to create in your latest collaboration with the New Orleans Museum of Art?
We really wanted to create an immersive theatrical experience. We believe that theater is an event and should take audiences on a journey. And what better way to do that than sometimes getting them up out of seats and moving around? And the Sculpture Garden is one of the gems of New Orleans and a wonderful place to do that. So we created a story that takes audiences down three different paths at three different speeds and lets them experience the wonderland themselves.
Now, Andrew, you're directing, and this, I believe, is the NOLA Project's seventh collaboration with the New Orleans Museum of Art. How did that relationship develop?
When we were a young company, our second summer down here in New Orleans, we were looking for venues, and this was shortly after Katrina, so there wasn't a whole lot. And I was driving by the museum, and I remembered the auditorium they had there, and we were looking for a location to do a Molière play, The Misanthrope. And I thought, wow, you know, that could really be a nice setting, a nice context for a Molière show. So we reached out and they worked with us on that. And ever since then, they've been a really great partner for us.
Now, AJ, what in your opinion makes this production so unique?
I think that ever since we started performing plays in the Sculpture Garden, we had always wanted to use as much of the Sculpture Garden as possible. And this was the first time that we really got to create a piece for this specific location, an original piece. And we were able to take the different statues and the different winding pathways and really map them out with our playwright, Pete McGilligott, who is living in New York. So Pete did this from afar. And Andrew and Pete worked together to really create a piece distinctly for the Bestoff Sculpture Garden.
So what you've created is a very interactive production.
Oh, absolutely. Not only is there no fourth wall, but there's no first, second, or third walls either. The audience is in and amongst the actors throughout. You know, it's been really interesting to see how kids have interacted with the actors so far, because adults are still pretty conditioned with that theater thing of limiting their interaction, even though we give them pretty clear instruction and bring them on board. But for the kids, they're completely immersed in this world and interacting with the characters in really fun ways.
All right, how's this for fair? I'll let you choose the story. Ah, you may choose between The Mystery of the Missing Tarts, The Tale of the Jabberwock, or Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Well, I don't want to hear Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I want to hear The Tale of the Jabberwocky. Oh, it sounds so monstrous.
Very well. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Alice.
No, I wanted the Jabberwocky.
That's how The Tale of the Jabberwocky starts.
Well, then tell me the story of the missing tots instead.
Oh, very well. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Alice.
That's the same story!
Would you like to hear Alice in Wonderland instead?
Is it the same as the other two?
It has a different title.
You there, you, hey, sir, you'll be your Alice.
We're lucky that the Lewis Carroll, original text aren't really told in a linear fashion. They're more episodic. Alice goes and kind of visits one character after the other. There's an overarching sort of plot line, but it's loose, and so we're able to play with that. So we're able to extract these episodic things and put them in an order that is suitable to what we wanted to do with the audience throughout the garden. So I think in a lot of ways it honors Lewis Carroll's original text. There's a lot of the original text in there, but of course it's mixed in with a much more modern comedic sensibility that Pete brings to the text itself, and then our company really brings. I think our company is a lot of really intelligent people, actors and artists, that really like to be laughed at. And so we really invite that with this text, which is very much, I think the dialogue, I would say, is inspired by kind of, you know, Simpsons and Monty Python and comic books, and the thing that really shaped a lot of our collective childhood.
And I think that to really honor Lewis Carroll's text, you have to bring that element of surprise and delight. And if it's just too much straight to the original text that everybody's familiar with at this point, it doesn't really deliver on that. So I think you've got to really make it new to keep those elements.
Now, in making it new, you said that there are three distinct tracks that people can choose to follow in this production. What are the three tracks?
Everybody starts together in one location, and then the three audiences move from there. So the Mad Hatter sit-down tea party goes and sits down, and they enjoy the show seated. Then there's the Red Queen's walking track, which moves along through the garden for those that want to explore, but not too quickly. And then there's the Cheshire Cat's fast track, which really does move. Audiences will be jogging along the paths with Alice and the Cheshire Cat, and they move the most throughout the garden. So that's a really fun experience for audiences that like to dash madly about and want to chase after the characters. Part of what we love about this kind of theater is that it really creates exciting memories. You know, it's a full sensory experience. So you're going to remember running across Humpty Dumpty's bridge while you see another crowd of people running, chasing a rabbit in a different direction. And I think that's something that adults and kids can appreciate. And it really takes you out of any kind of serious day-to-day life and just really lets you be playful and assigns you playful tasks.
The Great Escape?
It's escapism at a high level, but also I think ties back to reality and how we can really appreciate each other and ways of going through life. So,
and Andrew said something unique in rehearsal one night where he said, I think this is a show that is going to let a lot of kids want to become actors for the first time. And anyone that is an artist remembers that one time where they were inspired, saying, I could do that. And I think that this show is one of those shows that our younger audience members might have that spark of creativity.
The NOLA Project's A.J. Allegra and Andrew Larimer. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. And when I wave, I lose the time I save. My fuzzy ears and whiskers took me too much time to shave. I run and then I hop. I wish that I could fly. There's danger if I dare to stop. And here's the reason why. You see, I'm overdue. I'm in a rabbit stew. Can't even say goodbye. Hello, I'm late.
The NOLA Project performs Adventures in Wonderland at the New Orleans Museum of Art's Bestoff Sculpture Garden. Performances run through May 25th. More info at noma.eventbrite.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNN. I'm Diane Mack. A garden of a different nature is being celebrated uptown as the works of water media artists from around the globe are on view at Garden District Gallery. Paintings featuring landscapes, portraiture, still life, and impressionistic abstract works are highlighted as the Garden District Gallery presents the Louisiana Watercolor Society's 44th Annual International Exhibition. And joining me to talk about the exhibit is gallery co-owner Patty Adams. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Diane. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
This is a large exhibition with more than 70 artists represented. How did it come about?
Well, the Louisiana Watercolor Society contacted us last year. We actually hosted their 43rd as well. This is a group that I am a member of as well as a watercolorist. I would say they probably get around 400 entries every year. And all of these images arrive digitally They're judged by a very well-respected judge, a national personality artist. Then she whittles down all the entries down to 75 people. And that's who we have at the Garden District Gallery now, 75 painters from all over the world. I would say 7 of them are international. The rest are from the United States.
What types of works will we see?
For example, we had our awards ceremony on Saturday, and the first place winner went to an artist from England. And this is a watercolor painting of a very old farm tractor, and it's so beautiful with burnt sienna, and the textures of this painting is just beautiful. An interesting sideline to that is David Poxon, our winning artist, first place, attended the awards ceremony via Skype. So he was there toasting a glass with us from London. So
wow.
It was very nice. But I would say all of them are very, very different paintings, very colorful. That's the common thread through all of them. Very vibrant color, interesting uses of texture and control, the drawings, the brush strokes, all of them. They're all very, very different.
Which local artists are represented?
Locally, we have P.O. Lyons, who's a local architect, and actually the Garden District Gallery carries his work. Susan Copping, she lives on the North Shore, and also Karen Stakelum lives on the North Shore as well. Sherry Fry, I think, is also another local artist. I think there's someone from Baton Rouge in the show as well.
Now, what is included in water media?
Water media means that the element I'm using to paint with is done with water. So that would mean watercolor, where the pigment is mixed with water and put on paper. It can also mean acrylic, which is used with water and some sort of acrylic medium, and then also gouache. And gouache is like opaque watercolor, and you mix that with water as well. So water media would encompass those three disciplines.
Now, you are also celebrating a milestone as your gallery turns 5 years old, I believe,
next month.
Isn't that
amazing?
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. We're celebrating our 5th year. We opened in June of 2009.
What are your thoughts about your success?
My main feeling is one of just being incredibly blessed to be in this position, to be running an art gallery a half a block from where I live, number one, that I get to own it and run it with my husband, and that I get to feature the artwork of so many of my friends. In the 5 years we've been in business, we have shipped artwork all over the world, in addition to selling artwork to the neighborhood and to a lot of visitors that just walk in the gallery after visiting Commanders or going to the cemetery or just coming for a visit, a stroll around the Garden District. We've made a lot of friends all over the world, and in addition to selling artwork, which is nice. But I would say the biggest dividend is that we've been able to feature the artwork of over 90 people. 90 different artists have been in and out of our gallery over the past 5 years, which makes me very, very happy, including my own artwork, of course. But it's not just the Patty Show.
You wear several hats. You and your husband, Jim Atwood, are also performing with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra?
Yes. As we say to visitors to our gallery, that's our day job. I play flute in the orchestra, and Jim plays timpani. I'm the highest, he's the loudest. So so there's a nice balance. And at the gallery, he runs all of the nuts and bolts of the gallery. He takes care of all the accounting and budget planning, and I take care of all the art. I do all the graphics, all the media, all the writing and design work, and I plan all the shows.
This was a passion of yours for quite some time. How did it come about?
Well, it was one of those strange, I would almost call it a typical New Orleans story, where we were in the Creole Creamery one night, late after a movie at the Britannia, right? You know, you always run into people at the ice cream store. So we ran into some former next-door neighbors of ours who we hadn't seen in several years because they'd moved to Metairie. So she told us she was buying the building down at the corner, was going to renovate it. It was going to be an art gallery. And she didn't know anything about running an art gallery, and would I like to run it? It was kind of like an out-of-body experience. And I said, yes, I'll do it. And then this other part of me went, what? When are you going to do that? So it's been a wonderful challenge, but it has been an amazing, amazing experience. So with our former Next Door Neighbors, we were partners with them for 3 years, and I rented the building from her after the renovation was over, and that was John and Joanne Curran. Then after 3 years, they sold us the building, and we bought the business and the building together, and Jim and I now own the building and run the gallery together.
And what besides a lovely piece of art are you hoping folks will come away with after this experience?
I think when people come into the show, the biggest thing that they take away from it, from what they say to us, is the amazing diversity that is happening with watercolorists all over the world. They also are saying things like, I didn't know you could have that much color in a watercolor. So knowing how to control pigment is key if you're going to do a great watercolor. And that's what you can see in this show. Fantastic painters at the height of their powers.
Patty Adams, co-owner of the Garden District Gallery, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diana. It's a pleasure.
The Louisiana Watercolor Society's 44th Annual International Exhibition is on view at Garden District Gallery, 1332 Washington Avenue, across from Commander's Palace, through May 25th. Love is in the Air, as a full-length production of the romantic ballet Giselle returns to the stage for the first time in at least a decade. The Jefferson Performing Arts Society presents Jefferson Ballet Theater's production of the two-act dance drama set to music by Adolph Adam. Jefferson Ballet Theater co-directors Kimberly and Kenneth Beck, a husband and wife team, join me now to talk about Giselle and the disguised Duke Albrecht. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon.
It's our pleasure to be here.
This must be quite an exciting venture, as you have a large cast of local dancers and guest artists in this production, one that is not seen often in our area. Tell us about the cast and what attracted you to this romantic ballet.
Giselle is a story of a young girl. She's a peasant girl. She falls in love with a boy that she believes is also a peasant, but it turns out he is actually royalty, and he deceives her because he's already engaged to somebody else. She's very distraught over this, and she goes crazy and dies. It's a classical ballet. It's a romantic tragedy.
And you were attracted to it because?
Because of its historical significance. Giselle was originally choreographed and presented in 1845. It's one of the few ballets that endures through the time. The choreography has been largely preserved. If you think of the Nutcracker, probably what you see most of the time is original choreography by the director of the production that you're seeing, with the exception of the Grand Pas de Deux, the dance that the Sugar Plum Fairy and her cavalier does. In Giselle, not only the Grand Pas de Deux that's danced by Giselle and Albrecht is preserved, but most of the core work is preserved as well. So what you're getting to see is you're getting to see choreography that was done back in 1845 that has withstood this test of time and that is being done with the dancers today. One of the things that's fun about it is that the ballet will unite dancers with dance history. And as teachers, we think that's important for our students to be able to experience that part of dance history and become a part of it themselves.
Now, let's talk about the cast. This is a rather large cast.
It is a large cast. The ballet is quite demanding in that regard. We have students from the Jefferson Ballet Theatre School, where we teach, as well as a lot of local guest artists who are going to participate. We have Nukri Mamistvilov, who is originally from the Republic of Georgia, who dances with the Alabama Ballet now, which is where Kimberly danced professionally as well. We have Erin Kernian, who is dancing with the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes, who is a ballet dancer by original training. She's coming in to dance Mirta for us, as well as some other local celebs, Peter Elliott in the role of Hilarion, Cheryl O'Sullivan in the role of Giselle's mother, Mindy, and I think it's Coragy is the proper way to pronounce her last name, who is the owner of Carmel's Dancewear. She's going to be dancing the role of Batille, who is Albrecht's betrothed, his real girlfriend. And we have the mayor of Gretna, Belinda Constant, who is going to make a guest appearance for us as well.
Wow. Now, you not only stage this production, but you also have dancing roles. Kim, you have the title role?
Yes, this will be my fourth time performing the role of Giselle. My first year doing this was with Ballet Heisel here in New Orleans. And then I did it again in Nashville Ballet and Alabama Ballet. And this will be the first time that Jefferson Ballet Theater will be doing the full-length production. 2 years ago, we did Act Two.
You obviously have a passion for this ballet because you've done it many times before. What's it like being Giselle?
It's exciting. It's really exciting. I want to bring something new, something fresh to the role.
One of the things that's interesting about the ballet, as it's been presented through history, is the relationship between Giselle and Albrecht. And who is Albrecht? Is he really a young man who falls in love with a peasant girl and is a victim of his own circumstances, being of another class and not being able to be with her? Or is he really just a cad who comes from the neighboring kingdom and is toying with the emotions of this young girl? As it's been presented throughout time, that role has kind of changed. And so Kimberly and Nucri are working on their interpretation of how to answer that question.
Now, you too have a dancing role?
Oh, a very small walk-on part. I'm playing the Duke of Courland, who is the father of Bathilde, who is the young lady who's betrothed to Albrecht.
The Jefferson Ballet Theater has been in existence for nearly two decades now. Take us back to your beginnings with the company.
Well, I began as a teacher with the company. Myra Meir started the company back when she was a part of Jefferson Performing Arts Society, and then it branched off into Jefferson Ballet Theater by itself. She directed the company for a bunch of years, and when she decided to retire, she asked me as a former teacher and Kimberly as a principal dancer if we'd be interested in taking on the company, and of course we embraced that. This was 3 years ago.
And what is your goal with the Jefferson Ballet Theater?
In the past 3 years, we've developed two full-length ballets. We developed an original full-length ballet called The Snow Queen, and we've got now a two-act Giselle. We'd like to do more of that. We'd like to do more original full-length works and more preservation of the classics and teaching the classics to the young students.
And what will audiences remember most from this production of Giselle?
Hopefully they're going to remember the relationship between Giselle and Albrecht.
Does Albrecht really love Giselle? I think he does. I think he does. And we'll let the audience decide, but I'm convinced.
Kenneth and Kimberly Beck, co-directors of Jefferson Ballet Theater, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The Jefferson Performing Arts Society presents Jefferson Ballet Theater's Giselle Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, 400 Flock Street in Metairie. More info at jpas.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.